Israel presents.
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Noach. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the fourth day of Mar Cheshvan, also known as Cheshvan, 5770, and on the secular calendar, October 22nd, 2009. Parshat Noach is coming up, Motzoi Shabbat, this Saturday night. People in Israel begin to ask for rainfall. We'll talk about that, provided anyone outside of Israel doesn't get confused and knows that their beginning time is not till the beginning of December. We'll try to talk about all of that. In fact, we'll tie all of that into Parshat Noach and into this time of the year. And we'll see what else we get to. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about Kiddush Levana, maybe not, maybe just have a song, which I think we will. But first, Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim kraticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tehyena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Imavonot tishmorya Adonai miya amod, ki imcha haslicha lema'an tivare. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi, velidvoro hocholti. Nafshi ladonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael, mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha. Hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha umeyafela leora umishibud legeula. Hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Avram Fried has a song to the words from Kiddush Levana, Kishem Shani Roked Kenegdech. I'll play it shortly, but just let me focus in. Sometime from 3 days or 7 days, there are two opinions, following the Molad, the exact instant of the new moon each month, we begin at a specific night. No, let me put that correctly. From 3 days or 7 days after the Molad until full moon. This has to do with a calculation, and sometimes it's plus or minus in that range. As the moon has already begun to be significantly large, as it gets larger and larger until it is full, we have a tradition, a mitzvah, a practice, a blessing to recite outdoors in the presence of the new moon, not praying, God forbid, to the moon. We pray only to God. And this bracha, Kiddush Levana it is called, is an acknowledgement that God is the creator of everything, including the heavenly bodies, and that the sun, the moon, the planets, and the stars all do their thing because this is how God programmed them, so to speak, to behave. This particular sentence, Kishem Shani Roked Kenegdeich, just as I am dancing before you. It is a custom to do a little bit of a dance. At Kiddush Levana, it is a very joyous occasion equated to receiving the divine presence, the Shechina, and therefore we're happy, and therefore we should be dressed nicely and perfumed, which is why many people say Kiddush Levana on Motzoi Shabbat, after the Shabbat atmosphere has imbued the person with the appropriate mood for Kabbalat Pnei Hashchina, we do and say, just as I dance before you, Ve'eini Yochol in Goabach, and I cannot touch you, Kach lo yochlu oyavai lingoa bi lera'a, so too may my enemies not be able to touch and strike out against me. I remember in 1969 when man first landed on the moon in the persons of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, and then the subsequent Apollo missions, that a halachic question was raised on the terminology in this bracha. As I am dancing before you and I am not able to touch you, stop. Objection, we are able to touch the moon. Does that not question the wording of this line? The answer, the simple answer, is that at this moment I am standing on earth and I am outdoors, and I am saying a blessing to God, and I am in the presence of a moon that I cannot touch. My arm is just not that long. Those who felt the statement of Eini Yochol in Goabach, I am not capable of touching you, needed modification, and the story goes that Rav Shlomo Goren, the former chief rabbi of Israel, Zichrono Levracha, may he rest in peace, found an ancient variant to these words and recommended their use post-69. Kishem shani roked kenegdech, as I dance before you, ve'eni nogea boch, and I do not touch you, meaning at this moment, not eni yochol. Whichever interpretation you like, here's the song by Avram Fried. I bring it up specifically today because Thursday night, this evening, in Israel, is the first opportunity, according to Minhag Yerushalayim, the Jerusalem custom. When I say Minhag Yerushalayim, you have to understand that not everybody in Jerusalem follows the customs of Jerusalem, and people outside of Jerusalem often do. They are based on the Vilna Gaon's teachings. They were promulgated by his students and followers who came on Aliyah in the beginning of the 1800s, and they established an Ashkenazi community and presence in Jerusalem, where before that there was only a Sephardi presence, and the customs which they brought with them became known as Minhag Yerushalayim. But it does not bind everybody in Jerusalem to follow these customs. Be that as it may, Minhag Yerushalayim is to begin the Kiddush Levana period of each month from 3 days after the Molad. That took place last night, Wednesday night, after 11 p.m., and that means that that would have been too late. The moon had set already, and therefore the first opportunity for us in Yerushalayim is this evening, a very short time from now of this broadcast. 2 hours will do it, and elsewhere, according to whatever the schedule is. Those who wait 7 hours will not be able to do it until Sunday night, possibly Monday night coming up. Many, many people will do it Motzoi Shabbat, but in honor of the fact that I hope to be doing Kiddush Levana this evening, here is Avraham Fried with Kishem Sha'ani.
Kachelo yochlu kolay vaylin
Whenever we talk the month, the week, the day, the time of day, anything related to the year, we become acutely aware of the special quality of time, the fleeting passage of time, the very, very precious commodity that time is, and in addition, from a Jewish perspective, the ability to sanctify time. Shabbat represents God's act of sanctification of time, which He taught us how to behave with it and commanded us to keep the Shabbat. Then He commanded us to set up a calendar, a specific, unique Jewish calendar that revolves around our having been redeemed from Egypt, the Exodus, and that carried the concept of sanctity of time to a different level, because God said, I showed you that I sanctified time and commanded you to observe it. Now I am commanding you, the people of Israel, with your Sanhedrin representing you, to sanctify time. And that's Rosh Chodesh, and that is the cycle of the calendar, the holidays which depend on Rosh Chodesh, which they all do. And together it is a package deal that makes us acutely aware of the sanctity of time. So much for that, and now here's a related topic because it's a yearly kind of thing, also related to time, but more related to the theme of this week's Sedra. No coincidence, I believe. And that is rainfall. We recently, specifically Shmini Atzeret, also known in Israel as Simchat Torah, I'm talking about almost 2 weeks ago Shabbat, the final day of the Sukkot holiday for us, Shabbat and Sunday outside of Israel, but it was on that Shabbat that we all said Tfilat Geshem, the prayer for rain. This inaugurated the insertion into our daily prayers of a description of God, among many other descriptions, that he is the Mashiv HaRuach, the one who causes the wind to blow, Umorid HaGashem, and the rain to fall. God is the rainmaker. God did not leave nature to its course that he created, but maintains a constant supervision, and we believe an annual judgment for rainfall. This is general for the whole world and specific for each country and community. And when you're talking about rainfall, we are talking about blessed, beneficial rainfall as opposed to destructive or inconsequential rainfall. Now, as I said, we say daily in our tefillah, our prayer, Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGashem, from the last day of Sukkot until the first day of Pesach. That is known as the rainy season, and we acknowledge God as the rainmaker. 2 weeks after we begin saying Mashiv HaRuach, which comes out this year for us in Israel, this coming Motzoi Shabbat, Saturday night, October 24th, the eve of the 7th of Cheshvan, we begin not only referring to God as the rainmaker, but we get less subtle and more direct, and we say to him, give us beneficial rain. Fetein tal umatar livracha. This is not in every single daily prayer. It is in the weekday tefillah, not on Shabbat, not on Chagim, but in the weekday tefillah, in the weekday prayer, which includes many requests and petitions to God. One of them is for a blessed year, and now, beginning this Motzoi Shabbat, it will include the request for beneficial, blessed rainfall. For various technical reasons, outside of Israel, the beginning time to ask for Tal Umatar is not the 7th of Cheshvan, but it is 2 months after the beginning of fall, known as Tekufat Tishrei, with the discrepancy of the Julian calendar also thrown in, to the point where we now, in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, ask for rainfall only from the 5th of December, roughly. And there's a lot to be said about that, but I'm not going to say it now. I'm focusing on the practice here in Israel, that starting this Motzoi Shabbat, we ask for rain. Ironic that the Torah reading of this Shabbat is Parshat Noach, where the main theme of Noach is the flood. A classic example of too much rain, harmful rain, acid rain. The description of the flood, whose purpose was to destroy almost everything in this world, is in sharp contrast and contradistinction to the beneficial, blessed rain which we are asking for, which we are praying for and hoping for. But it both happens in the month of Cheshvan. The reading of Parshat Noach happens to be in the month of Cheshvan. The month of Cheshvan is referred to in this pre-Egyptian Exodus account as the second month. If you start counting from Tishrei, Cheshvan is the second month. Cheshvan became the eighth month when the counting switches to start with Nisan, but that's as a result of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus. Until then, according to most opinions, Chodesh HaSheni, the second month here in Noach, refers to the month of Cheshvan, where the flood began on the 17th of the month, and 1 year later ended on the 27th of the month, which comes out to be 365 days, a period, of course, of the length of a solar year. Even though our Jewish calendar is shorter, we use 12 lunar months in most years, and that comes only to 354 days, plus or minus one sometimes. But we also compensate every so often with an extra month, a 13-month year, results from that with 384 days, plus or minus one. And therefore, our years also average out to be 365 and a little less than a quarter of a day, just like the January-February calendar. If that was confusing, forgive me, I get carried away when I talk about that topic. But the point here is that the Parshat Noach is the weekly reading this week. It is always read during the month of Cheshvan. The month of Cheshvan is the month in which the flood began and ended, a destructive rainfall, to put it mildly, matched or challenged by our petition of V'tein Tal Umatar Livracha. We ask for rain, but as a blessing. Remember, of course, that the opposite of rain is drought, which is not good, to say the least. But the opposite of beneficial rain is harmful rain, torrential rain, hurricanes, flooding. And that's not good either. So we're really asking for a lot. We're asking for consistent, nice, pleasant, useful, beneficial rain. And if that's asking for a lot, we still are. And we ask repeatedly, God, tein tal umatar livracha. We'll be right back.
I'm Rod Sterling. You're listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
Okay, let's talk some Parshat Noach. But let me go back a step. From the perspective of the Torah being the book that God gave to the Jewish people, the first two portions, last week of Bereshit, this week of Noach, seem to be on fast forward from creation through to the first mention of Avraham Avinu, Abraham, before he even got that name when he was Abram, Avram. And the fast forward, just to use an analogy of a VCR, although those are fading into disuse as well, you could do it with a DVD also. You can fast forward in two different ways. You can, let's say you're watching a movie and you're fast forwarding, so you could do it without the picture on. It goes faster, but you have to know when to stop it, play with it a little, and then you start where you want. Or you can start the screening of the film, fast forward with it on the screen so that you can watch a speeded up version of what takes place until the point that you want to watch at the regular speed. Usually that's because you watch the beginning and you didn't remember where you're up to, and you look at it quickly and you say, yeah, I saw it. So stop here, play it regular. Bereshit and Noach do a fast forward of that second style, where we get a glimpse at Adam, Chava, Cain, Hevel, a brief rundown of the subsequent generations, an episode here and there with Lemech and his two wives, with Cain. Then in Noach, of course, you have the whole business of the flood and the end of Noach, the Dor HaPlaga, where we're brought up to the Jewish angle of our history with the birth and command to Avraham Avinu to go to the land of Israel. That's at the beginning of next week's Sedra. And you get a period of close to the first 2,000 years. And we're only talking of a total now of 5,770. The first 2,000 years go by in the course of two portions of the week. And that's because if this book is addressed to the Jewish people, then it's really from our patriarchs and matriarchs that we need the fuller detail and presentation, which we will get from the point of next week's Torah reading and onward. But the first two are very important for us because they plug us in to the human race. Being Jewish does not mean, even though some of our enemies have tried to convince people of that, that we are different from being human. We are human and we are Jewish, and we have values as human beings, which all human beings should have, and we have a higher sense of spirituality and a challenge to be spiritual above and beyond the normal for a human being, and that's called our Judaism. But being Jewish, we should never consider that we gave up our membership in the human race. And therefore, we speak of our forefathers as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We do not usually relate to Noah, or to Adam, for that matter, as our ancestor, but of course he was. They were. And if Noach has been borrowed in the concept called Ben Noach, which refers to all the non-Jews of the world, we should realize that we too are descendants of Noach, who was a descendant of Adam HaRishon, who his lineage from Noach's wife's side, according to our tradition, means we also descended from Cain, from Cain, and there's a significance in that, but that until Avraham Avinu came on the scene, and until years later, centuries later, when we stood at Mount Sinai to receive the Torah and became the Jewish people, for all those previous generations, we were just B'nai Noach, and then we took on the additional mantle of being B'nai Yisrael, the descendants and children and nation and religion of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There's one place which we recently experienced that plugs in to Noach in an unusual way. I refer to the Rosh Hashanah davening, specifically the Musaf, specifically the special middle brachot of Musaf, Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, especially Zichronot. In Zichronot, we have 10 verses from Tanakh, as we do for the other two brachot, and the theme is God's remembering, and it begins with Noach. And not only does it begin with a pasuk about Noach, but the introductory passage of that bracha speaks of Noach. Of Noach also you were mindful in your love and did remember him with a promise of salvation and mercy when you brought the waters of the flood to destroy all flesh on account of their evil deeds. So his remembrance came before you, Hashem our God, to increase his seed like the dust of the earth and his offspring like the sand of the sea. If you look in that bracha of Zichronot, You have mention of God remembering the Jews in Egypt, but you don't have that in the opening introductory passage, which speaks of God remembering Noach bi'ahava, with love. The Torah describes Noach in this week's reading as an ish tzaddik, tamim haya bidorotav. He was a righteous individual. And in a generation where finding righteous individuals was very difficult, it's all the more so that we look to Noach kindly and as a grandfather, not just of all humanity, but of the Jewish people as well, even though we tend to focus on Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as our patriarchs. But being a descendant of Noach as well, it's important for us to relate to the people of the world, especially if you want to put it in the context of what we believe are the universal code of conduct of all people in the world. Nothing on that list does not exist in our 613 mitzvot, but this list, called Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, the seven Noahide laws, which are better translated as the seven categories of Noahide laws, are incumbent on all people in the world, according to our opinion. And therefore, we have to know this. We have to encourage the observance of Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And it happens to be, in addition to the ideal, it happens to be a very self-protecting thing for the Jewish people to want the nations of the world to observe this universal requirement known as Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, because it includes things about not killing and about not stealing and about belief in one God. And these are things that are very constructive, or should be very constructive, in good relations that we should have with the peoples of the world. Unfortunately, Jews have often not lived up to their commitment to Torah, and the nations of the world have not lived up to their commitment to these standard, universal, basic laws of human conduct and decency and morality. Let me digress now with a song. It's a very nice song. It's not directly tied in to Parshat Noach or the calendar at this time, but it comes from a passage known as Brich Shmei. I want to read to you from the Koren Orthodox Union Siddur, the one commentated and translated by Chief Rabbi Sir Yonatan Sacks of England, where he writes the following. Brich Shmei literally means blessed is the name. This passage from the mystical text, the Zohar, is prefaced in its original context with the words Rabbi Shimon said, when the scroll of the Torah is taken out to be read in public, the gates of compassion are open, and love is aroused on high. Therefore, one should say at this time the prayer, blessed is the name, Brich Shmei, and it follows. The custom of reciting it has its origins in the circle of mystics in Tzfat associated with the Arizal. The words of this song, Yehei Reusach im Amach Yisrael le'olam ufurkan yeminach achazi le'amach bevet mikdoshach, translate to, may your favor always be with your people Israel, show your people the salvation of your right hand in your temple. Yehei Reusach im Amach Yisrael le'olam. In Amok Yisroel, O kan yemino, Achazeli Yamok, Leamok, Leamok, Beves Matishok. Yehei Reuso, In Amok Yisroel, Leola. Yehei Reuso, In Amok Yisroel, O kan yemino, Achazeli I referred to that song as a digression. It's really not. If we're thinking Torah Tidbits audio, then anything related to Torah is not a digression. I'll leave it at that. Let's get back to Noach and mention the following. The Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. I want to review again what that means, not necessarily what they are, although I'll briefly mention them. From a Jewish perspective, our code of laws says that the Tariag Mitzvot, the 613 Mitzvot of the Torah, and a countless number of rabbinic laws and legislation, and some Mitzvot, are incumbent upon Jews to keep. Some Jews keep them, some Jews don't, but every Jew is obligated to follow Jewish law, which includes Torah and rabbinic law. By the way, there is no such thing as, no, the stream of Judaism that I belong to doesn't require mitzvot or doesn't require that specific practice. From our perspective, that is not so. A Jew is a Jew. And every single Jew, whether he accepts it or not, has already committed himself to following the Torah back at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai. Anyone who doesn't is shirking his responsibility and his commitment. There is no such thing as, I am a Reform Jew, I am a Reconstructionist Jew, I am a XYZ, whatever you want to call a Jew, and I am not bound by these mitzvot. A Jew is bound by these mitzvot. That's one point. A non-Jew is not bound by these mitzvot, and that's an important point as well. A non-Jew does not have to keep kosher. A non-Jew does not observe Shabbat. A non-Jew does not have to make blessings before he eats. He can if he wants to, but he doesn't have to. A Jew does. What, from our perspective, is required of non-Jews? I say it again, the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, the seven Noahide laws, or the seven Noahide categories of laws. They are the big three, namely murder, prohibition against, theft, prohibition against, immorality in the form of incense and adultery, the prohibitions against. Theft includes a lot of things, so does murder, so does immorality. In addition to the big three, you have a mnemonic device, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, the first four letters of the Hebrew alphabet, to help remember what the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach include. Aleph is Aver Min HaChai, limb from a living animal is forbidden to a non-Jew. The animals from which they eat must be killed first, and then the meat taken. That includes from non-kosher meat as well, because a non-Jew is allowed to eat non-kosher, but he must kill the animal first. Whatever else that includes will leave for a different time. Bet is called Birkat Hashem, which means blasphemy, which also begins with a B sound, so it fits. Gimel is Gezel, that I referred to before. Oh, wait a minute. I must go back. I'm not going to go back and erase this. I'm just going to correct. The big three, murder, idolatry, and immorality. Idolatry means that we believe all non-Jews in the world, all people of the world, are duty-bound to believe in a single God. Exactly what form that belief takes is a detail or series of details which we can't go into. When I said before theft, that's there, of course. It's not in the list that I call the big three, but it comes in the Gimel reminder called Gezel, theft. Let's get that straight. The big three, I call them the big three because we are bound to give up our lives rather than transgress: idolatry, murder, or incest / adultery. Plus Aleph, Aver Min HaChai, Birkat Hashem, blasphemy. Gimel, Gezel. And Dalid is the most varied application of the mitzvot of B'nai Noach. It is called dinim. It means non-Jewish society must legislate upon itself all the laws it deems necessary for the proper function of society. So if in a non-Jewish society there are laws concerning neighbors' rights and responsibilities, that is a fulfillment of dinim. If there are laws as to how you cross the street or drive a car, that's part of dinim. If there's a law banning a concealed weapon or the need for licensing a weapon, all of that is part of the fulfillment of dinim, which means to legislate and to police and to judge violations thereof in a countless variety and variation of laws promulgated in order to keep society functioning smoothly. Now that altogether is an awesome task for the people. And that's all, to put it mildly, that we ask all non-Jews to conform to. In Israel, when we have a Sanhedrin, then condition of a non-Jew's living in Israel is a subscription to the seven Noahide law categories, and violations are punishable by the Israeli courts, by the Jewish courts. Outside of Israel, we don't have jurisdiction over non-Jews, but we still have the expectation, the demand, that non-Jews comply to Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. Just like not all Jews follow the 613 Mitzvot and Halacha, you have plenty of non-Jews and non-Jewish societies and communities that don't follow the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. It does not make it less of an obligation and requirement because people don't do it. There are good people who do it, and our attitude, the Jewish attitude, is that a non-Jew who faithfully keeps the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach is a righteous individual. That's a simplification. There are complications to that, but we'll leave it at that for the time being. On that note, let me wish you Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtameah.